T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. This is the Green and Gold Postgame Show. Now, former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson and the big unit, Bill Michaels.
The Packers go to 3-0 on the season, and they shut them out yet again. 27-16 late in the ball game. The Packers able to hold off. It wasn't pretty defensively, but they got the job done. Welcome to the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold Postgame Show. I'm Bill Michaels alongside Gary Ellerson. And the Packers defensively, Gary, not a great day, but still they didn't give up more than 16 points.
Right, and once again, you know, we're trying to figure out basically what this team is all about, right? I mean, I think we're trying to figure out the defense and what is this defense for real. Is it the Vikings defense? Is it on par with the Bears defense? I mean, I don't think that we answered any more questions than that. This Green Bay Packers team, as a team, if this makes sense,
yep,
still continues to win.
Right.
And, you know, so at the end of the day, I think that's all that matters. But what I do like about today's win, Bill, is that the defense didn't play as well as it did the last 2 days. I mean, the last two games.
Right.
But this team was still able to get a victory. And I don't know what they had, about 4 or 5 sacks in this game, right? I think they came back with maybe a couple turnovers again.
They got 3 turnovers in this ball game. I think they might have got another one down the stretch. But
right.
They converted the first two.
Mm-hmm.
And they went 2 for 2 in converting turnovers. The third one,
right,
they ended up going, I think it was 3 and out, 4 and out.
Right.
But nevertheless, I mean, they turned those turnovers into points. And
so the name of the game defensively is turnovers, right?
Right.
If you can create turnovers, get the ball back to your offense, the more possessions your offense will get, the more apt they can score.
Right.
So I think at the end of the day, if you look at the overall picture, this Green Bay Packer team is 3-0, and they were able to go out and get a win. And really, if you say defensively, not playing their best football defensively.
They turned the ball over, the Broncos did, twice via the fumble. They also turned it over via the pick today. The Packers capitalized on all but one. So big day for the Packers. The one thing about the Packers defensively speaking, their defense today was shredded on third down.
Yes.
Joe Flacco ate them up. 8
yeah.
of 15 for 53%, which is not the number you want. You want maybe 30, 35 tops and call it a day. Meanwhile, Packers offensively speaking, they were 2 of 9 for 22%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Denver did their job, but I'll say this. When you think about the number of – when you talk about sacks, Aaron Rodgers not sacked once. Think about that Denver front, who has not a sack to their name all season long.
Well, I mean, because I think what you saw, Bill, and you got to give Aaron Rodgers credit for it. I mean, I don't know if you were talking about it on our show, but most certainly we were talking about, you know, our show on a local station here, that Aaron Rodgers had to get the football out of his hands quickly. And I think you saw that today.
Saw it better today. And even when he was on
better.
The run, he was able to do something
get
with
it.
Yeah.
Rid of it. I mean,
right.
He wasn't taking sacks. I mean,
right.
A lot of it probably frustrates you a little bit, but what I like about it, he was throwing the football in the dirt, in the ground, anything he could do to avoid taking sacks. And, Bill, when you see it like that in such abundance, you know that Matt LaFleur has said to him, listen, man, let's get rid of the football.
Right.
Let's stop taking sacks. Let's stop taking hits. So, to me, that felt like that was a little different than what we saw last week with Aaron Rodgers.
Joe Flacco today, 20 of 29, 213 yards, sacked 6 times
yeah.
by this Packers defense. No touchdowns. His longest pass was that 52-yarder to get out deep out of their own territory.
Right.
And threw one pick, a quarterback rating of 75.8. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers, 17 of 29. At one point, he was well under 50%.
Yes.
And then he finally started kind of making a few passes down the stretch. But 17 of 29 on the day, 235 yards, had a touchdown, and a quarterback rating of 96.2. Marquez Valdes-Scantling had that 40-yard touchdown reception, also 6 catches, 99 yards on the day. He has fast become a fan favorite of both the Green Bay Packers Nation and Aaron Rodgers as
Who's
well.
Who's that?
Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Well, I don't know if you heard talk, Bill. All I heard talk all week long were that we need another receiver. I don't know if you got that all week long.
No, I got a little bit of it.
Yeah, we need another receiver. We need somebody else besides Devontae. We need another guy. They need to go out and trade for a guy. We need to go get – I said all along, they have guys here. They're not just guys. MVS is the next guy. It could be Geronimo Allison. They've got enough guys here to have a second guy behind Devontae Adams. Now, I thought maybe – and I got to go back a little bit, but I thought maybe – he had two drops today. I don't know if they showed drops there. But he had a couple sideline passes I thought he could have had. I don't know if the guy hit
Devontae
it out
of
his
hand.
No.
Or Mark was out of
skin. Yeah, MVS.
He had one drop and one that I thought he got swatted away.
He did? Okay, yes.
Yeah. But
he was targeted
10 times with
was
six
he
catches.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's get to the phone calls. Phone lines are jammed. If one becomes available, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Let's go to our buddy Ty. First up out of Philadelphia. Ty, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
What's going on, guys?
Big win today. Hey, 3-0, man.
Great, great, great team win. Great team win. I have a question to ask both of you guys. I mean, Gary just touched on it. I mean, I still think that the Packers need to upgrade at the wide receiver position. I think, the touchdown that Valdes-Scantling, and I'm not being a negative Nancy or complaining about a win because it's a good win, and I love how the defense has played this season so far, but him and 81 dropped a couple of balls. I think we could use an upgrade, on the trade market for a wide receiver. I think we need another reliable guy. I think we need a guy who fits this offense a little bit more, and that's most likely a faster guy, in my opinion. I think that when you go three wide receivers, as far as Allison, you could put 17 in the slot. So I think you need a little bit more speed on this offense. And the question that I have for you guys, is it time to press the red button on Aaron Rodgers? 35 per season, he hasn't looked like that guy. At some point, man, it's time to stop blaming the coaches. If you're elite players or whatever the case may be, you gotta produce. And I just don't feel like Aaron Rodgers has produced the success of this team yet this season.
Would you think, do you think this offense showed up better this week? I mean, as far as a complete game goes?
No. I think they played better in the two quarters that they had last week than this week.
Okay.
I think they capitalized off the defense, and that's the team game. But
right.
I want to focus the attention on Aaron Rodgers. This is the elite guy on our – he's the quarterback, so I just want to ask your opinion. Is it time to press that red button? It's 35 per season here. That's at stake that we're paying this guy.
I appreciate the phone call as always, Ty. Ty listening to us in Philadelphia. Questions about Aaron Rodgers, Gary.
Okay.
Now, we just got done talking about that, about how this week he kind of did what Matt LaFleur wanted him to do, and that was get rid of the football, don't take sacks. The numbers aren't flashy. By the way, when you say get a faster guy than Marquez Valdes-Scantling,
who?
He was 4.37 at the combine.
I know, people don't realize that
about
him.
The guy has serious wheels.
He's your deep option.
He's the guy.
But they got to go to him. I don't know. I don't know. So do you want Dez Bryant over MVS?
How do you get faster than 4.37?
I know. So
he's got that kind of speed. He's in his second year, and he's learning moves.
Learning. That's why.
By the end of this season, he's going to be the guy.
If you don't think. That's why I'm asking. Do you want Dez Bryant over MVS? I don't. But he's out there is what I'm saying.
Right.
Then you got to go trade for a guy. I don't think there's no need to do that. Back to Aaron Rodgers. You and I talked about this a little bit last week. This time last week we were here on air. I think those days of Rodgers throwing up 400, 500 yards a game, fantasy football type quarterbacks are gone. Because I just think in this offense, this is kind of what you're going to get. I mean, you're going to get the 300, 250, but it's going to be 25 attempts. He's got to be efficient, maybe 30 attempts max. I think that's where his numbers are going to be in this offense.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, it'll get better because they're learning. Because we're not, and what you talked about, we're not all the way there yet offensively in what we know and what these guys are learning about this offense. I think there's still a ways to go until we figure out, or until Rodgers figures out this offense. It's probably going to take 8 weeks for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, Devontae Adams, 4.56 speed.
Yeah.
At the combine.
Yeah.
So for Devontae being, as Aaron Rodgers called it, a top three receiver in the league, what does that make Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Let's go to Randy on the northwest side. Randy, how you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm doing good, guys. You know, again, I don't want to sound negative like the other guy said, too, but our run defense got shredded today. I mean, Denver ran up and down that field. They made that one guy look like Walter Payton or something. I mean, I just thought the run defense did not look good.
The run defense got ate up today. They had some good seal blocks in the trenches. They did not get penetration. They had arm tackles. You saw guys that even after the play went past them, they got up and kind of jogged. They didn't they didn't come up and follow the play, so to speak. I mean, there's third game into the season. This was the first time you saw any kind of a chink in the armor in offense, and you saw something that Mike Pettine could put on film and go, okay, guys, here we go. And we got a quick turnaround to kind of fix this.
I'm going to say this, Bill. Let me give you a thing. Everything's fluid this year, okay? So I have the right to change my mind as the team changes. I'm going on a limb to say this defense right now today, three games, reminds me a lot of that defense when they went 15-1.
Really?
Yeah. After three games now. Yeah. It can change.
Right.
Because you're going to start doing numbers here. Third down efficiency, all that kind of stuff. But they've got takeaways. I don't know where they are in takeaways right now. They've got takeaways.
Right.
And they've got sacks. They have to be right now in the NFL. They have to be top five in takeaways. They have to be top five in sacks after three games.
Well, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I'll tell you where they ranked and where they rank coming into this game and then exiting this game. Let's do this. We're broadcasting live at Hinterland. It's the 5 o'clock at Steakhouse. Green and Gold Post Game Show. Gary Ellison alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. 27-16, the Green Bay Packers go to 3-0 on the season. The Broncos go to 0-3. And you should hear what John Elway said about his quarterback. It's one of those things where when you're in the elevator.
We can divulge that.
Sure, we can.
Okay.
I'm going to.
I know you will.
When you say it publicly in front of God and everybody. Come on. Come on now. John Elway had some things to say. We got more coming up right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. 5 o'clock Steakhouse, Green and Gold Postgame Show. I'm Bill Michaels. Packers going to win 27-16 alongside Gary Ellerson, former Packer and Badger running back. And before we go any further, time for the hit of the game. And give it up for the rookie. He leaves the game cramped up, goes in, gets an IV, comes back out, and grabs himself a sack. Rashawn Gary, here it is.
Rashawn Gary, the rookie who was injured in the first half, has come back in. Kyler Fackrell has come in for Smith. As Flacco sets to throw, hesitates, and he's sacked. There is Gary right on cue.
And Gary comes in, gets his first sack of the season, and looked pretty good earlier in this ballgame before he went down with cramps and obviously after the fact. And that is the hit of the game. The hit of the game brought to you by our friends at the Boilermakers, Local 107, building and rebuilding America for over 225 years. You can check out their apprenticeship opportunities at Boilermakers107.com. That's Boilermakers107.com. Rashawn Gary showing up. And Gary, I'll tell you, I kind of watched him. I tried to focus on him a couple of times today. It's not that he's got a bunch of moves, but he looks like he's getting more comfortable.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
His takeoff is really good, too. He's got good takeoff. He's got good burst off the speed. He goes out because he was cramping up a little bit. I don't know how guys cramp up. Well, I guess it was kind of humid out there today. Wasn't it? Wasn't the air kind of thick today?
Yeah, it was.
I think it was. So the one thing I like about that sack, though, Bill, hands in the dirt.
Right.
He got that sack with his hands in the dirt. So you can play him in multiple ways. And that's why they were so enamored by why they took him at the pick that they took him. And listen. They're bringing him on slowly, and we've seen that. I mean, we didn't see him much the first game. Then we saw him about five or six plays, eight plays the second game. And now this third game, he comes in and gets a sack. I would agree with you. Yeah, he's getting better as the season goes along here.
Let's get back to the phone calls. If you want to chime in, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Joe is listening to us in Atlanta. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. So I want to talk about Jamal Williams. So last week, Aaron Jones did his thing. This week, Jamal Williams did his thing a little bit. Pretty nice to have a 1-2 punch like that. Would you not agree?
Oh, no, completely agree with you. You saw Aaron Jones get the touchdown today and got through and scampered the pass, and then you saw Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams actually went into the tent earlier today, too, and when he went into the tent, I thought, I don't know what he's going in there for, but he came out, grabbed his helmet, went right back into the game, and then he was productive. So, yeah, I completely agree. I thought coming into this season that we'd have a pretty good – I shouldn't say we, but the Packers would have a pretty good 1-2 punch.
No, I would agree with you. Didn't we hear earlier today or this week, we heard Coach Matt LaFleur talking about shared carries.
Right. They wanted to because they've got a short week. You don't want to get
exactly
guys beat up. Right.
And so what you didn't see today were really them in the backfield together a lot. I mean, sometimes I miss a lot of things. Listen, I think really the NFL football, and I don't want to take any money out of anybody's pocket, but it's made to be watched at home on TV because it goes so fast.
Yeah, right.
Get all the replays in that. But I don't know if they played them together in the backfield today.
But you
not
saw Danny Vitale get into it, too.
Yes,
they threw a pass to Danny Vitale.
Not as often as we saw last week.
Right. And
so you're right. The reason why that was is because of short week. You can't play those guys in the backfield together when you're like this. The running back spot right now, Bill, in the NFL had changed. All these other positions, the wide receivers, all this stuff has changed. The running back is the only position that changed, which means that you still can hit that guy anytime you want. So you got to be careful about how you play these guys and when you do and when you don't play them together.
By the way, Rashawn Gary, going back to his numbers, 4 tackles today, had the 1 sack. He also had another quarterback hurry today, so good numbers for him. Blake Martinez, 12 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. Preston Smith, 3 sacks today.
Yeah.
Za'Darius Smith, 2 sacks today.
Yeah.
5 sacks between those cats.
Right.
And 5 sacks.
That's why I say, Bill, I would venture to say, we talk about these other kind of numbers with this defense.
Right.
They've got to be top 5 in sacks. They've got to be top 5 in takeaways as a team.
Yep.
I mean, they have to be. I mean, the third down efficiency, I get it. I mean, that is something because the team stays on the field. But the takeaways and the sacks they're getting right now is incredible. And like I said before, fluid situation. I go on record saying is, this defense right now reminds me of that defense that year they went 15-1. They lost. They lose to the Giants at home that 15-1
year.
Yes, they did. That's what they're playing like right now. They're getting a lot of turnovers, man, a lot of sacks.
Coming into the game, the Packers giving up on average 9.5 points per game. That was second in the league.
Yeah.
Second in the league. And when you talk about the number of turnovers, the Green Bay Packers coming into today, they had, let's see here, trying to figure out. Packers had, after today, they end up with 5 picks on the season. That will tie them with the Patriots for the top spot in the league.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, off the top of my head, I'm not keeping numbers, but you can tell at the rate.
Patriots with 5, San Francisco with 4, Tennessee with 4, Packers now with a couple today, they get 5.
And that's what you want.
So,
all these other numbers are great, but those are the numbers you want to look in behind the numbers of what you're getting. That takes the air.
Packers, by the way, second in the league in forced fumbles already.
Yeah.
When was the last time that happened?
Right. And what about sacks? Did you say sacks?
In sacks, let's see here. The Packers are in sacks.
I mean, they're playing lights out right now.
They now have 11, which would put them second. Or no, excuse me, they have 12. That puts them second in the NFL.
That's what you're playing with right
now.
And we still don't know what this defense is.
Right.
I'm serious. We still have no – because if you can say, well, they got shredded today in the run game.
Right.
They did. And Ezekiel Elliott, when they come up in here or when we go to Dallas, you know what you're going to get. But if you can continue to get turnovers and sacks at the rate that they're getting them, will make up for all that other stuff that they're doing right now.
I'm not saying it's the Dom Capers bend but don't break defense. But
feels like it.
It feels like when they need it the most, they've come up with the turnover.
But the thing of it is, Bill, It's the old Dom Capers defense, not the one that we saw Dom Capers in the last 5 or 6 years. That defense was tired. I mean, you just look at the players that they have now. I see them running some of the same stunts they ran with Dom Capers. They weren't getting home. They have better athletes.
They got better guys.
They got better guys.
Yep, no doubt. Let's do this. The best hands of the game. I tell you what, it's time for those. And since we're talking about the defense, we're talking about picks.
Yeah.
It's brought to you by the North Central States Carpenters. You got to go to Darnell Savage for that pick that he had diving to keep it up underneath him. Here it is.
This try will be of 41 yards. Made one earlier. He's going back to last year. Made 10 straight field goals. He hit from 42 previously. And Crosby nails it.
I don't think that was it. That's not Darnell Savage with a pick. No, but that's Mason Crosby putting points on the board. We'll go with that. Regardless, Darnell Savage had the best hands of the game. It's brought to you by the North Central States Carpenters. Build your career and build your life. Go get betterwages.org. That's what you do. Go to getbetterwages.org. That's getbetterwages.org. And see for yourself. It's brought to you, again, by the North Central States Carpenters. Right there. There you have it. Let's go to the phone calls. Talk to Phil listening to us in Chicago. Phil, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
What's up, guys? Look, I'm not going to – look, I just looked up some stats. The 2000 Ravens defense allowed 37 points, 400-some yards. In a game, the 2013 Seahawks allowed 400 yards and like 35 points in a game, too. I mean, what were those fans doing? Overreacting to I mean, look, Mike Pettine said, I think yesterday or the day before yesterday, somebody told him, you can fly better than you can run. I mean, I forgot what he said. I think he said, you can fly to Seattle faster than you can walk to Seattle or something like that. So he's purposely allowing the run a little bit. You know what I mean? It's not that bad when you really think about it. I mean, they allowed some things, but I'm just not going to overreact to that. I don't think that's a 2011 defense. I think it's 2011 as far as turnovers, but they're much better than 2011 because 2011, the only thing they did was turn the ball over. This defense can get some stops. I mean, if you look at the last three possessions that the Broncos had, they didn't score. I mean, they held them. So, you know, I still believe in Mike Pettine. Look, there's going to be games like this. It was raining. I mean, it's just one of those games. I mean, it's not like it's going to be like this every week. But I do think they're going to look at the tape. They're going to get back on track as well. As far as the offense is concerned, I do think it was a better week because they scored twice, twice in the second half, which is good. It's better than last week because they didn't score anything. So it's still a work in progress, but this is a team on offense and defense. I think this offense can make plays. This defense can make plays. This defense is much better. I think this as a team collectively, they're much better. And they're getting wins. And that's all that matters. On the Philadelphia. With no injuries, thank God.
Right. No big injuries. I'll completely agree with you with that. Appreciate the phone call. 855-830-8648. I don't think Mike Pettine, Gary, is allowing the run to be relevant, I guess, in his defense. But just for the fact that there was so many missed tackles today.
There were a lot of missed tackles, so you go back to that situation. I mean, we had that preseason, but I think if you go back and look at the NFL as a whole, there's a lot of missed tackles. I mean, I think that's right. The new NFL. Teams don't play defenses like they should. They don't hit as much as they should. I think you can build a defense of guys that are aggressive that way, but I still think the fundamentals of tackling are now lost in our new NFL.
One thing I will give you some props for in the tackling department, your Wisconsin Badgers did some tackling yesterday.
Well, yeah, Bill.
Man, they put it on Michigan.
Yeah, well, we did. We took wow. Michigan out to the woodshed
yes,
yesterday.
Yes, they did. That was a pleasure to watch.
You know, Jim Harbaugh, I mean, I don't know how long they're going to let him last, but I'm going to just say this, Bill. That's not a Michigan football team that I'm used to seeing.
Nope.
I mean, I'm going way back now, but they quit.
Yeah,
they straight up quit.
That was a beatdown.
That was a beatdown.
That was fun to watch.
I know it was, but nobody saw that coming. Did you see that coming?
No, I
didn't see that coming.
The more I got closer to game day, I kept thinking to myself, I think the Badgers can win this game.
Well, yeah, I picked them to win 28-14.
And I thought if the Badgers won that game, that they, even if they squeak by, it would say a lot about the program, that they're on the right path. You know, we had all picked them 8 to 9 wins to start the season.
Yeah.
And then I watched Michigan play Army, and I thought, how good is this Michigan team? And then I talked to Jim Brandstetter, the voice of the Wolverines, and he said, well, hey, Army's a good team. Don't get it past, you know. Don't read anything into that. I think I can read something into that.
Yeah, you can. They're not very
good. They're not very good.
But, Bill, so what does that tell you about recruiting?
It tells me that Wisconsin has some better weapons. I really like what Jack Cohn brings to the table, and it seems like Paul Chris trusts him.
Right.
He really does. When you go for it on fourth down in your own territory and you're throwing a football,
yes.
I mean, that says that you know, you trust him.
Yes.
And it also makes me go, okay, Graham Mertz knows he's redshirting, but who's the guy next year? You know what I mean?
Well, it's Cohen. But Graham Mertz will be a starting quarterback for maybe 2-3 years.
So I'm just kind of –
that's how it's going to wash out.
I'm kind of like, wow. Unless Jack Cohn goes down with an injury or something.
You know what?
Jack Cohn's looking good. He's making a believer out of a lot of people that weren't believers.
Here's where I want to get down to the bottom two. Okay, I like our program. I love what Wisconsin programs do. I would really love to talk to someone to tell me why – it is hard for the students to get in to Cameron.
All people do is make excuses.
Because if it's the students, then it's the students.
Right.
Okay, but I want to know if it's the students or if it's a process of these students,
it's,
are not being able to get in the game.
Just an FYI, anybody listening.
It's just crazy.
Gary brought this up on his own.
I just want to know what it is. I want to know one or the other. If it is, why can't we get these kids in the stadium on time? If I give you the top five programs in the country right now, which I say the Badgers are in the top five, so it would be number one is Clemson. Number two for me is Alabama. Maybe number three is Georgia. Would you buy something like that? Number four could be, I don't know, pick a team. Not LSU. But Ohio State.
Ohio State's up there.
Number five is Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Those four programs in front of Wisconsin, they don't have a problem with students getting in on time.
No. They're full. I mean, by the time kickoff and those teams run out of the tunnel.
I just want to know. If the kids are staying out drunk, I mean, if they're ripped up on Friday night and they can't get there, okay. But I just want to know if all the kids got a hangover, they can't make it in on time. How can 70,000 other people be there on time and these jokers can't?
All right.
Okay, I'm done.
I completely agree.
We can get back to Packers football.
I completely agree.
You just got me
completely
going.
Agree.
That's all I want to know, Bill.
I completely agree.
You agree too?
I do.
Seriously?
Yep.
That just drives me crazy. I don't get that. When did that become a thing?
I get it.
I mean, are we fashionably late? Because you all wore white, so there ain't no fashion.
I know. I get it. I'm with you, man. I've been preaching this for a long time.
That drives me nuts.
By the way, and people asking, so coming down the elevator, we'll get to a break. We're woefully late.
We'll
but coming down
that.
The elevator,
Sorry
John Elway – watching on the TV in the elevator, watching Joe Flacco throw checkdowns, pissed off.
You're going to do this, Bill?
Because Joe Flacco doesn't go downfield enough.
Oh, my God.
Just upset at Joe Flacco because Joe Flacco doesn't go downfield enough. He doesn't take enough chances, doesn't have enough, quote, guts. How about that?
Put down your pipers.
And that's coming from one big-time quarterback to another. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Packers get a win. It is 27-16. They go to 3-0 on the season. The Denver Broncos with a quarterback while there's nothing but check down. And Joe Flacco, although they did have a big pass play today. They had a 52-yarder to get deep out of their own territory on some broken coverage.
Right.
But nevertheless, they take it on the chin. They go to 0-3. The Green Bay Packers move on to Thursday night where they're going to take on Philadelphia. It's the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show live from Hinterland here in Green Bay. We've got more right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. We are glad to have you. It's a 5 o'clock Steakhouse, Green and Gold postgame show. Packers 27-16. They go to 3-0. Now it's a short week. They turn it around on Thursday night as the Philadelphia Eagles, they come a-calling. Gary Ellison alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. We'll get back to the phone calls. Let's do this. Let's go to Jeff listening to us in Wausau. Jeff, welcome to the program. And what's going on, man?
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to hear your guys' opinion on, you know, nowadays in today's NFL, there's so many guys out there that are throwing for, you know, 350, 400 yards a game, 3, 4, 5 touchdowns a game. And, you know, I can't remember the last time that Rodgers had, you know, 300, 350 yards and 3, 4 touchdowns in a game.
It's been a while. You're absolutely right. It's been a while. Appreciate the phone call. It's been a while since Aaron Rodgers has had that 300-yard game. I'm just trying to go back here because I've got some game logs. Let's see here. Let's go back to 2018. Let's see, because they did not have a good season in 2018. They had the early season. No, I take that back. He was 55 of 37 for 442 yards in the win over the Jets. He threw for 442 yards, 67.3% completion percentage, a couple of touchdowns in that game. He was sacked 4 times, a quarterback rating of 103.7. But the last time he threw for that many yards was December 23rd of last year. Now, the last time he threw for 300 yards after or prior to that was against Seattle in a loss in which he threw let's see here. He was 21 of 30 for 332 yards. That was against the Seattle Seahawks going back to November 11th of last year. So he's done it. But there's also a couple of games where he didn't even break the 200 mark. He had one against the Atlanta Falcons in December 9th of last year. He also had one on the 25th of November against the Minnesota Vikings. So he has had some big games last year. He had a 425-yard day against the 49ers. He had a 442-yard day against the Lions. So last year against the Lions, well, then again, he came out of that game early against the Lions. But he threw for quite a bit last year, and it was basically all Aaron Rodgers, Gary.
Well, and I don't know what we're seeing here, but I'm going to chalk it up still to Rodgers not knowing the offense. I still think that's a work in progress. But like everything else, Bill, that happens, I mean, Rodgers can't play like that forever. I mean, right, we've seen it. We've seen it with Elway. I mean, when Elway won the Super Bowl, he wasn't Elway that was beating Cleveland back in the day with Ernest Biner and all those jokers.
Right.
Okay? When Elway won those Super Bowls, it was about Terrell Davis. But Elway was efficient with his passing.
Right.
Terrell Davis could get you, you know, MVP guy.
You have to have some type of a balanced run attack.
Well, not even that. I'm just saying, but when you deteriorate as a quarterback, then you've got to rely on other things to do it.
Yeah.
Then Denver, I mean, even if you look at, let's just look at Peyton Manning's last year in Denver. He was out, what, 6 games that year?
Right.
But how did they win it? They won it with Von Miller in them.
Von Miller, that incredible defense they had.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think at the end of the day, Rodgers is still good enough to win you games. But I still think as he gets older, you've got to put other parts around him to help him achieve success. Like I said before, I just think those days of 40 passes, 45 passes a game are gone. I think what you're going to see now is what you've seen really the last 3 games. Now, can it crop up and happen throughout the year? Yes, it can. Because I know everybody want to when I say this. But I just don't think the old Aaron Rodgers, what we used to see back in the day, I think that's probably gone.
Well, I mean, go back even to the year that
the
Packers won it. They had a really good defense, and their run game was Brandon Jackson.
Right.
And they got it done just enough out of the backfield to be able to make defenses play them honest.
Right.
855-830-8648. Uh-oh. Let's go to Easton.
Okay.
Cruising around in a car right now. How you doing, buddy?
Hi. Hey, Bill. Hi, Mr. Ellison. I was on a soccer field all day.
You know who this is, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Shoot, buddy, what's up? Congratulations. You guys won two games today, right?
Yep. What I
skipped some, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. What's up?
What did I miss?
What did you miss? You missed a hell of a game. Packers got a win, 27-16. Aaron Rodgers played pretty well. The defense played pretty well. They had some turnovers. They got some points, and now they're 3-0 in the season. You were playing soccer and getting all wet and muddy.
Oh, yep, that's me.
Okay. Be safe getting home. Tell mom I said hi. There you go.
All
appreciate
right.
it. See you, buddy.
There we go.
He just wanted to chime in, I guess.
No. You know that joker? That joker, do you remember we were in spring training? And he said something about a guy with a foul, got hit with a foul box.
Yeah.
He said,
That's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what happens. He saw the guy get hit.
You remember that?
He got hit with that foul. He looked down, he said, wow, that's what happens. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break on that, and then we'll regroup. 27-16, Packers get a win. It's the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show. We are broadcasting live at Hinterland here in Green Bay. Stay tuned. We got more right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Packers going to win 27-16. They knock off the Denver Broncos. They go to 3-0 on the season. They got a short week, turning it around here on Thursday night as they're going to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Gary Ellerson alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. It's a 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show. We are coming to you live from Hinterland right across the street from Lambeau Field, and it's the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game time. And one of the things that made me say that tonight, and normally I don't, but I did hear, was Lindsey gets the ball on what looked to be a 1 yard, you know, stop. He actually lost a yard. They had him stopped.
Yeah.
The whole pile was on top of him.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he falls into the end zone. Not enough tacklers, not enough bodies, not enough beef. Whatever happened, he went from being stuffed and stopped in a big Packers joyous moment to putting six up on the board. Here it is.
Philip Lindsay, is he stopped? No! Touchdown, Broncos!
Unreal.
What determination and effort from the 5'8 Lindsay.
That is tremendous effort.
That is the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game.
That
brought
was hell
to you by.
Effort, though.
I'm telling you, it was. Larry McCarron said during the broadcast when I was listening, he said that was the test of wills and Lindsay's will won.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it came down
to. Just kept
going. Yep. Brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. That is GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. Next hour, don't forget, we're going to hear from Matt LaFleur, the Packers head coach. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers as well. Let's do this. Let's get back to the phone calls. We got our buddy Tom, who is actually leaving Green Bay at this point. Tom, welcome to the program. What's going on?
Hey there. Great Packer victory. Just curious, you know, a lot of negativity on the show today, and we're 3-0, elated, having beaten the Vikings and Bears and now the Broncos. You know, I think we're off to a great start.
3-0 is where you want to be. We couldn't agree more. Right. I think what we're kind of talking about basically is there's enough blemishes here to say you're 3-0, but don't get out over your skis.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You still got a long way to go before you're going to be considered one of the best teams in the National Football League. Although now people are starting to look over the fence going, wait a minute. This Packers team, they do have blemishes, and they're still winning.
Right.
Could this be the second or third best team in the NFC to actually have a legitimate shot at getting to a Super Bowl?
And how about that defense? They've really turned it on this year.
Yep.
It's been a defense that has been a lot of bend but don't break here today, but overall they've been pretty good getting sacks, turnovers, overall the whole deal. No doubt.
Yeah.
Are you
lastly, you know, we just talk about how Kirk Cousins and how much he sucks.
Yeah, that's funny. Thanks for the phone call, buddy. Did you just say Super Bowl?
I did. I didn't. I mean, but people – look, I was watching on the NFL Network, and they started talking about, you know, the shift of power, surprising teams, surprising starts. And I said, well, wait a minute. the Packers are undefeated, and they actually have, and they play the clip of Aaron Rodgers saying, we have a defense. Well, wait a minute. If Aaron Rodgers has a defense and this offense continues to get better, how good can they be? That's a question you and I asked last week. I don't think we're sitting here today looking at a team that's going to the Super Bowl, but if it gets better, it wouldn't surprise me, because tell me what team besides, say, L.A., you've got a good team in Dallas. But after that, tell me the other teams in the NFC that are that far head and shoulders above everybody else that would be better right now than Green Bay. You know what I mean?
Seattle.
Seattle's a good football team. Seattle's a good football team.
You're right about the Rams. I get down with that. No doubt about it.
Seattle beat Cincinnati. Who'd they beat last week? Because they're right now. But Seattle right now is struggling 7-7 with New Orleans.
Yeah, but they're all about defense.
Right.
Seattle is. I mean, that's the way they build it. But you're right about the Rams, right? You're right. Right now, I think it's the Rams and the Cowboys as of today. And I think maybe you're right. The Green Bay Packers are probably in a close third, maybe with Seattle. Maybe I'm missing somebody right now because I'm not looking at the whole screen at this particular point. But I don't feel Super Bowl right now. And you know, New Orleans right now, had they had Drew Brees, you might be thinking about them a little bit. But Drew Brees is out. We'll see if Alvin Kamara can carry that team.
No doubt. Cowboys go to 3-0. That's the other team we were talking about, L.A. Packers got to be in there. We got 1 hour now. We got another hour yet to go. Hang in there. We're going to hear from the head coach, Matt LaFleur. Take a lot more phone calls as well. If you want to chime in, 855-830-8648. It's the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show. Packers get a win 27-16. They are 3-0. We are live at Hinterland here in Green Bay. We've got more right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. This is the Green and Gold Postgame Show. Now, former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson and the big unit, Bill Michaels.
We're live at Hinterland here in Green Bay in the Titletown District, right across the street from Lambeau Field. The Green Bay Packers 27-16. They get a win. They go to 3-0 on the season. I can only imagine that the Milwaukee Brewers are ending things, or at least one out away from ending things, against the Pittsburgh Pirates and completing their sweep. They are now up 4-3 with Josh Hader on the hill. Two outs in that contest, and the Green Bay Packers and the Brewers and the Badgers all getting win. Man, what a weekend to be a sports fan in Wisconsin. Gary Ellerson alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. This is awesome. And you got St. Louis getting beat today right now by the Cubs.
I just want St. Louis just to take it and be done with it, because you really don't want those two teams to be going back.
Actually, I take that back. St. Louis is now taking the lead against Chicago.
Good.
So
good.
St. Louis is up 3-2.
Yeah.
And if the Cubs lose this game, it's all but over.
Right, and that's what I want. Just eliminate them. They're done. And then let's just keep it moving. No, Bill, you're right. So you're talking about, if you were fortunate enough to have tickets to the Badger game, right? 11 o'clock start, drive back that night, right? Go to Miller Park. Go to the Brewer game.
Yeah. Get here.
Get your broke tail up and drive to Green Bay. I mean, that weekend, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that probably could equals maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe Old Town, Backstreet Boys, and NSYNC. Maybe not one of those groups.
Okay.
Maybe not one. One probably does.
Right.
But that's what probably that could equal to. I mean,
It's a big weekend.
Like, if you can see all three of those groups in maybe one weekend for free, I'm not paying, for free, that's kind of what that would equal to. But I tell you what, Bill, I mean, it is great to be. How great is this?
This is fantastic.
How great is this?
Completely fantastic.
Right.
The Brewers by today with this win will go to 86-70. Meanwhile, Washington right now stands at 85-69, depending on what happens with Washington. But the Brewers could overtake the top spot in the wild card.
That's okay. Brewers has got to take care of business.
Yeah, just take care of business. So
their bugaboo now, people don't know, their bugaboo is going to be Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's been a tough team. Cincinnati's got a big week coming up, too, because they're saying goodbye to their longtime broadcaster, Marty Brenneman.
that.
They've got a big energy in that city right,
right
now because
I'm saying,
that.
That's going on. Your coach that was here with the Brewers.
Right. Derek Johnson.
You got Derek.
Lee Tunnel.
You got all that.
Yeah.
That's not going to be an easy series for the Milwaukee Brewers.
No, I completely agree.
I just want them to win a series.
No doubt. Let's get back to the phone calls. 855-830-8648 here on the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show. Our buddy Terrell on the north side has been holding a while. Terrell, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how you guys going?
We're good, Terrell. Big weekend, man.
Yeah, it was a big weekend all around the board for the state. As far as this Packers team, as far as Aaron Rodgers starting off, I think he's had a lot of mediocre games from a passing standpoint. I think this year we're probably going to have more games close to this version because of the style of offense they run now. It's not the spread offense or nothing like that where he's just slinging it all the time. LaFleur is actually trying to run the ball and mix in his snaps like
right.
that, so that's a good thing. I still believe that they're one offensive weapon away probably from winning the Super Bowl because even though this defense did bend and break today, don't get it twisted. This defense can just make stops when they really have to make stops. One thing that I know as far as in the trenches of this defense, it's been years that I've been watching the pass rush and they always get stonewalled. Regardless of who they're playing. Now, it's always somebody getting at the quarterback. Regardless of what's going on, somebody's always reaching out, redirecting the quarterback, causing pressure. I really like this defense. This is the most entertaining. I can't remember since Aaron Rodgers has been here. I'd rather sit there and watch the defense play than the offense play. And that's where it's at with me as far as this.
It's no doubt. Look, I think when you talk about another offensive weapon, My thinking is, Gary, and Terrell, appreciate it as always, my thinking is this, can we see the emergence of Geronimo Allison? I think Geronimo Allison last year was on his way to becoming maybe that second guy.
Well, he was going to catch over 1,000 balls. I mean, I think, here's what you got to remember. James, I think MVS and Geronimo Allison can be as good as James Jones. Is that good enough for you, Packer fans?
Do you think both guys can be as good as James Jones?
Yes.
Do you have a Greg Jennings on this team?
I think MVS can be a notch below Greg Jennings.
I could go with that. He doesn't have this. I don't think, anyway. I haven't seen it
yet. He just doesn't have yet. I mean, because you remember Greg Jennings. Greg Jennings has a lot of fluidity about him. Is that a word, Bill?
Right.
Yeah. Had a lot of that.
Greg Jennings was smooth.
Smooth.
Yeah.
And MVS is not quite there yet. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of like MVS is like a toddler learning how to walk. And, you know, remember how you used to walk with their hands all up like
right.
this? Then maybe a year or two later, they start walking with their hands down.
Right.
MVS is a toddler. He's only been in this league for 2 years.
Right.
And he's had two offensive coordinators in this league. So now he's got two different coaches trying to teach him plays. So he just doesn't know what he doesn't know yet. But I think he can be used in his offense. He's most definitely your deep threat guy. He's the guy you should be looking. I said this last week, Bill. I don't care if they complete the pass or not. They need to be throwing two passes to MVS downfield, whether it's completed or not. Just run him on a go and just throw it. You know what that does to that defense? That takes some jokers out of the box now, and now you're able to spread the football out, and now you're able to open those lanes up for Aaron Jones now that they know you got a deep threat. And if you guys don't want to double him, he's going to catch one like he did today. Now,
right.
I felt like today, was that like a broken play? With MVS a touchdown, was that broke? Do you remember?
No, I don't think it was a broken play. I think Aaron Rodgers did enough in play action to bring just that stutter step.
That's what you thought it was. Okay.
And then he just got loose.
Right. So that's what you got to be doing with him.
Yeah.
Every game, at least two plays.
855-830-8648. Our buddy Doug, listening to us in Pelican Lake through the app of radio.com, says, the idea or concept of this new Packers offense reminds me a copy of the heydays of Holmgren's Packers. Quick passes, efficiency, running the ball. I'll even add this through the defense of the equation. Your thoughts. Great listening to you guys. on the postgame show. I don't know if it's a true West Coast style of offense.
Right.
Because there's a variation of that here, but it's very much they want Aaron Rodgers get under center, get rid of the football. They want to run the ball. They want to run some counters. They want to have motion. They want to have play action. It's similar in that sense, yes. I don't think that this team is anywhere near as talented as the team that won it back in 96.
No.
But I think that there's enough youth here. Look, Darnell Savage Jr. had a big game.
Yes.
Kevin King did not. He got burned a couple of times, and also tackle after the catch was not great.
Right.
I still like what Jair Alexander brings to the team. He ripped a ball out.
Oh yeah.
For a turnover today. So I think that there's some. I think there's some there with the youth that they have on this team.
Right.
But to me, maybe in a year or two, it develops into that. You know, I mean, if they keep winning and have a really good season, this is great. But just think how good they'd be in another year or two.
These folks don't realize what you're dealing with here. I mean, you're really dealing with a team rebuilding right in front of your face. That's what you're dealing with. So they don't know what they don't know, and I think they're getting better as time goes on.
855-830-8648. Let's go to Mike listening to us on the south side. Mike, how are you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I called Wednesday the big show. I thought this might have been a trap game. Sparky assured me Denver wasn't that good. I think the turnovers make a huge difference in games like this. Now, as far as picking a Super Bowl favorite after 3 weeks, just as long as it ain't Charles Barkley picking Packers. You know where that got the Bucks. And can I get a quick, I know we talked Friday about this Badger thing. I had the game on. It looked like a good crowd. I think Northwestern next week is always a weird game. But the elephant in the room is going to be at Ohio State. And thanks for taking the call, guys.
No, I appreciate it. When you talk about the crowd on television yesterday at the Badger game,
yeah,
I noticed that when they showed the Badgers coming out of the tunnel, they only showed the first three rows. They had a close-up of the tunnel. They didn't pan back because when they finally
did pan back
late in the game, then you didn't see the student section open.
Really? Is that what they did?
Yeah.
That's what they did on TV.
Yeah. Well, it did look crowded, but they never showed the student section. And until towards halftime, there was still a bunch of rows that were
empty. Well, no, that wasn't true. At the end of the first quarter, it was full.
3:17 to go at half, a buddy of mine texted me a picture and said that he counted 18 rows that were still empty.
I can show you a picture. We have one.
Because you were there.
Yeah, we had one at the beginning of the first quarter, and the one just about at the end of the first quarter, it's all filled in.
Okay.
But end of the first quarter.
Right. You brought it up. You've been preaching it.
But still, end of the first quarter, Bill.
Yeah, I know.
You're going on second quarter now. I'm literally saying it was just full at the end of the first quarter.
Right. I'm with you. I've been preaching it for a while, but
I may have it timestamped. Let me go back and look at my
You go back and look at it. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We are broadcasting live at Hinterland. We're here in Green Bay. It's a 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show. Packers going to win 27-16. They are 3-0. Now they await the Philadelphia Eagles come Thursday night here at Lambeau. We've got more right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. We are broadcasting live. We are at Hinterland here in Green Bay in the Title Town District across the street from Lambeau Field. It's the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green Eagle postgame show. I'm Bill Michaels alongside Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger, preacher, running back when it comes to Badger fans getting into the stadium on time.
Right. You got to get in there. I do want to talk to somebody about that. I mean, I really do. And I don't know what we're going to do to get people on. I don't even know. Because I think I've been trying to find out the truth about this. I mean, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years. And I keep hearing different stories and not the same. I heard they changed the policy.
To me, the only way to do it is to have
people in.
To have a student that has a ticket, get there at 10:30 for an 11 o'clock kickoff and say, go in. And then text me where you're at when you're in. And see how quickly they get through the process.
Because what do you think the problem is?
Part of it, they say part of it is they stay out and tailgate. The other part of it is they only have one gate open. It takes so long to get the students through it. And my argument is all because I've had students text me and say, it's been like this for years. It's the administration. The administration says we open the gates and there's very few people until midway through the fourth quarter, first quarter, and then they come piling through. And
right.
Then there's a log jam, and it takes a while. You
right.
Know,
so
I don't know.
We've heard all that.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know. I don't know what
it is. I just know, look, if I'm Barry Alvarez and you have a nationally televised game and a big game like Michigan.
Right.
Two top-ranked teams.
Right.
And you have the end of your stadium empty.
Right.
When your team comes running out of the field. Two things to me. One, it just – and I don't preach this and I don't complain about this because I think – I just want to rip on Wisconsin. I say it because it just looks bad. For a
oh,
team
no.
that you got to have a lot of pride in and respect for,
no.
it looks bad.
It
and
does.
The second thing is your team deserves better.
It does.
You know, and if you – and if the if it's on the – and I don't know. I mean, I hear so much. But if it's on the students – damn it, sell off some of the sections.
Right.
Make some
it's
more
too
money.
Many tickets
take
for
the,
them.
Take the tickets away from the students. That's not
too,
a right. It is something that is a privilege. That you pay for your ticket and you go to the game, and that's fine. But if you're not going to show up and they're not going to be used and you're going to have this empty bowl continuously, then go ahead and sell it off.
Right. Totally
you know?
Agree. Give it to people. Sell it to people who you have more.
You can charge more money
well,
for it,
well,
too.
Well, Bill, not even that. You have a huge alumni fan base that want tickets that can't get them.
Right.
So, yeah, if they don't want to go, if they can't be there on time, you know, that's what should happen.
And for all the people that want to tweet me, tweet Gary because Gary's from there.
Well, tweet at me because I tell you right now, it is. It is embarrassing. I mean, you've got a top five program, okay? That's not what you should – well, I mean, I remember when we played Ohio State, Bill, that one year, some years back, where the guy ran it back for a kickoff return right away on kickoff. There was nobody in that down there in that student section. I mean, that's just straight craziness. So, yeah, tweet at me. I handle it.
There you go. Hey, let's
you
do
got,
this.
You, what is that? You got to have me on that wall? What it is? I need to be on that wall? You want me on
you
that
want
wall?
You want me on that wall.
You want me on that wall.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, just a little while ago, Aaron Rodgers went to the podium. Let's take a listen to what Aaron Rodgers had to say. Here it is. Go. That was Aaron Rodgers after the ball game talking about Jamal Williams. 12 carries, 59 yards. Aaron Jones, 10 carries, 19 yards. But he had the 7-yard scamper into the end zone. Had a couple of touchdowns on the day as well. So efficient. Aaron Rodgers, Gary, kept saying the word efficient. Wasn't a big day, but an
right.
efficient day.
Yeah, that's the word I use, Bill, and that's where he's got to be. I think when you start looking at Aaron Rodgers and where he's at right now in his career, well, really in his offense, I think his offense is going to be about, if you know Matt LaFleur, I mean, last year he was in Tennessee. They had a two-headed monster. Who was that? Is it Deion Thomas? He was with New England. Now he's with them as a low running back. And the Henry kid, the big Henry kid, I think that's what they did in Tennessee. They want to run the football. So I think that's what they want to do here with a two-headed monster, with Aaron Jones, with Williams. They want to try to run those two guys together. They want to go play action pass off that.
Yeah, Derrick Henry was the guy.
Derrick Henry. So when they do that, he's not going to have a lot of attempts to throw the football down the field. If that's the way they want to proceed with this offense.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we're also going to hear from Matt LaFleur. We got to get to some more phone calls as well, so we're going to be chatting up with you. It's a 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show. Packers going to win 27-16. We've got more right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. It is the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show. We're broadcasting live. We're at Hinterland here in Green Bay. Gary Ellison alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. And taking your phone calls, your reaction to Packers get a nice win. And the defense, even though it wasn't a perfect performance, still only holding the Broncos to 16 points on the day. Their third down percentage, though, defensively not good. But, again, the Broncos, they get it going between the 20s, and they either turn it over or the drive stalls. And
right.
It's been the same old for them. Let's get back to the phone calls. Let's go to John. John, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Oh.
John, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I have a question for you. It's kind of going back kind of the preseason stuff and that. But I'm a Milwaukee Gold Package ticket holder. I didn't go to the game today. As a matter of fact, I sold my tickets to someone that did that trifecta. They went to the Brewers Friday night, the Badgers yesterday, and today, Packers. But my question is, they're talking about eventually they might add a season, you know, a regular season game, take one away from the preseason package. That possibly could happen. So who gets that package? Does it
who gets that game? Does the gold package or does the green package get it?
That's a great question. I appreciate the phone call. I would assume that they'll just rotate it. We talked about that. If they lose a preseason game, then 1 year they'll only have two. The next year they'll have one. Then, you know, just back and forth. And then I honestly don't know. I don't know how they're going to do that. I just know that when you talk about player safety and they keep talking about these four preseason games and not playing starters anymore, if you're not going to play the starters at all, which seems to be the way to go, it only takes you three games to get a look at everybody that's on your roster.
Well, you're talking about, you know, the bottom end of your roster, and you're new NFL. You're not playing your frontline starters anyway. So all that's going to do, everybody's going to be in the same bucket, Bill. All you're going to do is just have, it's going to take guys longer to get ready for the regular season. Like, you're going to see some bad football early on during the regular season.
Yeah.
That's all. And if you've got, in the Packers situation, if you've got a new head coach, new offensive coordinator, those kind of things, you put new things in, that's going to take the offense a little bit longer to get together. And I think that's what you're seeing right now with the Green Bay Packers. You can tell me all you want that you don't need preseason. That's a lie. You do. Especially when you have a new coach. How do you know what is going on during real game type situations? You don't. You're learning everything on the fly. So, I mean, if everybody else is doing it, I'm fine. If two games is the two games, then that's it. I would venture to say then the Milwaukee season ticket holders will probably get one more game out of that, is what I would venture to say. Because how many do they get now? Two?
Right.
Yeah, would
you venture. You get two in a preseason game.
Yeah, so you'll probably get a total of four. So Green Bay season ticket holders will get one, then Milwaukee will get one preseason.
Right.
And then Milwaukee season ticket holders will get one more home game. So which would be a total
something
of
like
four.
That, yeah.
I think that would be the right way
the
to
way
do
to
it.
The way to do it. Yeah. Right. Let's do this because Matt LaFleur just went to the podium a little while ago. Got to get to him. Matt LaFleur is brought to you by our friends over there at Pick and Save. Your local Pick and Save store is bringing you Matt LaFleur and his postgame presser. Here it is. The challenge, the situation with Savage and, you know, how everything kind of came to the understanding there. But he is brought to you by our friends over there at Pick and Save. So that's Matt LaFleur. And let's do this. Let's go back to the phone calls and talk to Carl listening to us on the south side. Carl, welcome to the program, the Green and Gold Postgame Show.
What's going on, fellas? How y'all feeling today?
All right, Carl. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing good. A couple things, you know, as far as this win, a lot of fans are bummed out as far as getting gashed on the run. They got to understand we were basically up in a nickel all game long. So without having an inside linebacker to help out Blake, I mean, of course you're going to run into your troubles with
right.
a run-first type of offense with Denver. Secondly, What I'm really looking to see is us go after another playmaker on offense. And I know this is going to sound far-fetched. I've been hearing Chad Johnson, you know, his name. He's been all up in Green Bay. You know, a guy like him, a good veteran, Dez Bryant, somebody like that. I know that he's even mentioned that he would never play for the Packers. But I'm pretty sure once that money talk, I'm pretty sure it's changed. But how do you guys feel about another playmaker? Even a Jalen Ramsey type of on defense, somebody that can, you know, get this team really over the hump. What's missing? Because right now what I'm seeing is a lot of complacency. And with that run game being, you know, so dominant with the Vikings and now with Denver, you know, we got to start, you know, getting this up under wraps. Because I don't know if we can really start making it once we get to teams like, you know, the Dallas Cowboys. All right, fellas, take care.
I appreciate it. He's also looking for a playmaker like a Dez Bryant, like a Chad Ochocinco. When you talk about guys like that, somebody that's going to be that big-time guy. And Gary, you and I are both saying, I think you have to I think throughout the season you got to let your playmaker develop.
Right. I mean, but everybody's in a rush right now. Right?
You're 3-0.
That's your big talk. That's the big talk right now. Everybody's looking for a number two receiver.
He's right about the defense, though. They did, because of the lack of linebackers, they did play nickel a ton today.
Right.
And moved a lot of guys around. And they did, you know.
So you're going to get gashed in the run game.
You get gashed a little bit. But they had some holes to run through.
Well, sure they did.
It wasn't just where they were getting gashed because they didn't have second-line defensemen. They got gashed because they had some holes to run through today.
We'll see what this offense is. Listen, if this offense can continue to score some points, that's going to put other teams
in line to score points with the Green Bay Packers, meaning that they're going to have to take chances to move the football down the field, which plays into the defensive side of the football to get takeaways. Yeah. I mean, I think – so when you look at offense, defense, special teams, that J.K. Scott right now, and we didn't even look at those numbers, Bill, he's probably the best punter right now inside the 20. And he may have – well, I'm sure he's probably in the top five.
He had three inside the 20, one touchback today, four punts, 53-yard average, and a 47 three-point yard net.
So when you put the puzzle together, Bill, here's your puzzle. Here's what you, how all this works together. So your offense score points. They score enough points to put pressure on the other offense score points, which in turn leads to turnovers because you don't have no quarterbacks in the league like Aaron Rodgers. Joe Flacco is not one of those guys. He shouldn't be able to come in here and beat you. So now your punting game also works with that because now you went and got J.K. Scott. That cat could boom him at Alabama. Didn't play so good here last year, but was playing well this year. So now what you're doing, you're making offenses drive the football almost 80 yards.
Right.
Now you got to take chances. So not only do you have to – I mean, you see how all this kind of works together. Now everybody's talking about that we need another receiver. I just don't think you need that. I think they just need to develop the guys that they have and could continue the game plan of how this team is put together.
J.K. Scott, by the way, third best right now
there
in the National Football League. Six inside the 20, five fair catches, a total of 61 return yards right now, only eight punts returned on the season. His net, 42.8, is where he's sitting right now. His average, by the way, his average punt, is 47 yards, which puts him at number 9 overall. But then again, you're talking about the Washington Redskins,
exactly,
who are deep in their own territory, who are,
yes,
kicking 46, 47 right, yards per kick.
Right. You know, Bill, I feel pretty good right now.
There you go.
I feel pretty good.
He's a field flipper.
I mean, yes. I mean, I feel pretty good in the fact that you can kind of see how this thing is, how it's shaping up to be, how this team,
yeah,
is being built. And you just kind of got to go along with it and see if it'll work. It's a young team.
When we come back, he is over inside Lambeau Field. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio is going to join us. It's the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show. Packers get a win 27-16. Mike Clements up next after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The Packers get a win 27-16. They are 3-0, and now they have a short turnaround. Come Thursday night, they're going to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Welcome back. It's a 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show. Gary Ellison alongside the former Packer and Badger running back. I'm Bill Michaels. We go over here to Lambeau Field. Our guy Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Michael, how you doing?
Good. Bill and Gary, you know, Aaron Rodgers, the best in the business on a free play. He gets Von Miller to, yeah, jump off sides off the left-hand side, and then he throws one 40 yards. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, smart enough in his second year to know, hey, man, free play. Just keep running for it. He goes deep. But I asked Aaron after the game, I said, you know, how about Corey Linsley? A little help. I mean, how does that guy know that he should snap the ball? Does he see Von Miller jump? Is there a signal that you have? And Aaron Rodgers says, well, that's a secret.
Momentum.
But overall, you know, it's the defense. It's the defense that's carrying this team again. And you see Za'Darius Smith with a key sack on a third down, and then he crawls on the ground, gets up, feeds himself, and pats his belly. He says, that's my dog move, okay? I'm like a dog, and then I pick up, I feed myself, and I got a belly full. Oh, you got Preston Smith with the Joe Flacco and the Broncos deep in their own territory. They try and go deep. He gets a strip sack on Joe Flacco, sets up another good field position for Aaron Rodgers in the offense to score. And when I went to Preston, first thing in his locker room, he brings over Za'Darius. The Smith brothers, they want to be known as that. They did their press conference together, and I said, guys, what's the one word you can describe this defense right now?
Momentum, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. Hey, but yeah, you know, going into this week, guys knew we got to play with a lot of juice. We knew we had to play together, and we had to go out there and execute. We knew what the task we was facing his hand. We got to go out there and play as one. That's what we known for, playing together, regardless of the circumstances. You see what happened, the game started off for us with a long kickoff return. We didn't care about that. We went out there and we executed. You know, we did our thing and to get our ball back to our offense and get off the field.
Yeah, I had those long sustained drives, 15 plays. Philip Lindsay was tough.
you get a sack on third down.
Yeah.
You get a strip sack deep in their territory. There's plays where you said, we got to go for it.
Right.
Yeah, man, we knew, man, regardless of the circumstance, we always go out there with the mindset that we got to make plays. We got to make plays to put our offense in good position, and we got to put them in position to score. So we knew. Every time we touch the field, we'd be like, somebody got to make a play. It don't matter who do it. We just got to execute, make a play, make sure we don't give up big plays. We know we go out there, you know, who knows who's going to get a sack. Rashawn got a sack today. You know, Z got a sack today, man.
Two.
You got two sacks today. He got two sacks today, and man, I got a couple.
They're having a fun time in the defensive side of the Packers locker room. But you go to Aaron Rodgers, and he knows that he's got to have more sustained drives, that he knows the defense is coming up with turnovers and setting up the offense for a short field. He knows special teams, like a 66-yard punt by J.K. Scott, is giving them great field position. And Aaron Rodgers today after the game said, doesn't it feel good that you're finally getting some help from special teams and defense?
No. I want to play better. I want to score more points. I mean, obviously, you love having a defense, but I don't take any satisfaction in having a, you know, okay performance. And no, I want to have greatness out there.
So then you go over to the Denver Broncos locker room, and I mean, here these guys have played their game again. And the time of possession, they're one of the best in the league when they came into a couple of those 15-play drives. They just can't seem to convert when it comes to points. They have three turnovers today, the two fumbles, the one interception. And Joe Flacco now on his team falling to 0-3.
We're definitely going the long, hard way. And that's the kind of games we're in right now. We're in these hard fights. And if that's what's necessary, then I expect us to be able to do it. But obviously, you know, somewhere in there, you want to make some big plays and score some touchdowns, you know, before you get there. There's obviously things with wearing their defense out and things like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're making it hard on yourself. And, you know, and that's why we're having a tough time putting it all together right now and just kind of, you know, making some of those other plays.
Even though Philip Lindsay having a great game, what a weapon that guy is, the Broncos unable to get the thing in the end zone, and that's in part to great play by the Packers defense. But now for the third week in a row, it's Mitch Trubisky, then it's Kirk Cousins, and now the Packers defense is raising questions about Joe Flacco and why he was so indecisive in the pocket. And here's what the Broncos head coach Vic Fangio had to say about that after the game.
There was definitely a few of those where he held it a long time. So there's only so much time you can hold the pack there. Joe's got to do a better job of getting it out quicker. The routes have to be run crisper. You know, everything's got to be better. It's not, you know, it's not just that he's holding it. Maybe he's holding it for other reasons too. So, but I thought our line, you know, for how many passes we end up throwing, you know, blocked pretty good.
The Broncos defensive end, Derek Wolfe, had to be carted off with what looked like a severe ankle injury. So far, nothing serious from the Packers locker room, guys.
Mike, great stuff. Appreciate it. We'll see you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll see you again up here on Thursday, pal.
Thank you, guys.
There you go. We got about there a minute here, Gary, before we get out of here. So what's this like now, a quick turnaround?
Well, I mean, you got to make sure everybody's healthy, right? I'm sure they've already game planned for this. So they've already been practicing against Philadelphia anyway. But now you got new film. You saw them today. So I would think, you know, they had a – what did they have, a mental day here this past week or something like
day.
That?
They had a walkthrough day.
So, yeah, I think they'll probably have another one of those. But I think it's all going to be about X and O's and getting into the film room and getting, you know, just getting mentally prepared for this.
So the Packers back at it here on Thursday night. Is Thursday night football another Thursday night game. Comes a call, and this time it comes to Lambeau Field. For everybody involved, we certainly appreciate your patronage here at Hinterland. Thanks to the staff and management here. Thanks to our buddy Richard, who takes care of us over here.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks
Richard's
to Richard.
our guy, man. When we get in here, he's fantastic. Yeah. Thanks to Richard for taking care of us. Thanks to everybody for showing up.
Can I say thank you to Will Fuentes?
Thanks to Will Fuentes for making sure we're on the air and setting us up right. One more time before a crowd of 78,078. It was the Green Bay Packers 27 and the Denver Broncos 16. Packers go to 3-0. Time for us to get out of here. Have a going.
Sure.
Wisconsin Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.